Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carton.
And my name is Kevin Carton, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. What is the fourth dimension? There's a lot of, actually just realizing, Chris, there's a lot of talk about the fifth dimension. And
we did an episode on that with Sky.
Yeah, she goes by Claudia now, but yeah, Sky Zimmerman, Dr. Sky Zimmerman. So that was, dude, that was like 2 years ago on the fifth dimension, but which honestly, I was thinking about that this morning and wanted to re-listen to that myself because she knows the fifth dimension, I think, more than I do. And if I remember correctly, it's something to do with love. And how love is literally infinite. But today we're going to talk about the fourth dimension because that's a step up to the fifth dimension, of course. And this idea popped because I'm reading a book by Neville Goddard titled Out of This World. And in the first chapter, the first chapter is literally titled Thinking Fourth Dimensionally. And it sparked my interest. And, as I was reading it, it blew my mind this morning. And so when Chris and I popped on here to record, I was like, let's do this. Like, I want to talk about this. So, I think I want to read the lines. It's like a couple of paragraphs that really makes it so simple and straightforward. And then we can riff on this.
Yeah. I was going to say, just like before you started reading that, like when we're talking about other dimensions, like fourth and fifth dimension, like I want to preface that, like, I don't really do much research in any of this and like, I don't really know much about it. So like, I'm excited to just have like, kind of like a philosophical discussion about like, after reading this being like, all right, like, what do we think versus this is like scientific truth. Like we're like the experts on this. It's more of like conversation. Bro, like, let's just see what happens.
I think our most avid listeners know that we're not proposing that we are the scientific experts on pretty much any of the things we share.
That's true. Like, that's true.
Which is a good thing. But honestly, we've gotten like one or two comments like, where's all the research? Like, I want the articles. It's like, we don't owe you anything. I love you who's listening, but this is our podcast and how we do it. So we don't have, I personally don't think we have to like even like say that. It's like, here's a conversation we're having on these things. And yes, there's tons of scientific truth to this. Do your own research. Like, this is what Chris and I have found. So, and there's a talk about scientific factualness to this. Like, once you hear what this gentleman writes about, 100%, like there's no refuting this.
And dude, he was probably writing about this. I mean, I think he's dead now, like long dead.
Yeah.
So dude, this he was writing 50s. About this and like, yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Cause that,
let me actually that's see.
Cause that's the cool thing about a lot of this stuff too. A lot of the, like the metaphysical thinkers that wrote all these books. It's like the more we're starting to learn about how the universe actually operates and like quantum mechanics and like even like the stuff that the double slit experiment is showing, it really is like kind of elucidating what these people were trying to say based on just experience for them. It's like, hey, I experimented with this and I tried this and this is how it worked in my life. And so this is what I've deduced from my experiments with my own life. And it's like now it's like science is actually catching up.
Right. Which I feel like that's what our podcast is all about. Science and spirituality.
Yeah.
Which, dude, there's an old teaching story popped up recently. So I think it's meant to be shared now that it's just popped in my mind again. That, old teaching story that scientists have been climbing the mountain of knowledge for centuries. So it's test by test, experiment by experiment, research paper by research paper, especially nowadays, peer reviewed research papers. And so they've been climbing the mountain of knowledge as hundreds of thousands of different studies have been put together, and they finally reach the top of the mountain of knowledge. And what do they see? They see all of the sages, the gurus, the messiahs, the teachers of old that have been speaking about spiritual truths for millennia. They're up there and they're waiting, and they see all the scientists get there and they're like, oh, welcome. You finally made it.
Yeah. It's actually interesting. It kind of makes me like think about wanting to talk about, and we can do another episode on this, or it's like, maybe we can weave it into this, is like how like humanity got to that point of like needing this such physical evidence all the time with certain things, when these like you were saying, like certain like teachers and spiritual leaders and stuff have come and have just kind of been like, this is how it works. And like, the way that they've taught specific things has reached specific people, like right into their hearts. And they're like, oh, I know this now.
Right.
But it's like, we as humans, like, we want to have that like physical, like proof. It's like, prove it, you know?
Right.
So it's just interesting, like how that evolved over time.
Right. Yeah. I think that definitely is for another episode.
Yeah.
Part of me, but just one quick comment I have on that is that I think it's by design, because now that there's more and more proof, more and more people are getting on board, which I think is what the goal has always been from God, from spirit, is like all of us being on the same page, like one human race. Mm. And that we're like all that, what Jesus talked about is like, love thy neighbor. It's like just loving each other. It's just like, let's live in harmony. Let's create heaven on earth. I don't know. So I think that the logic, like being like soothed or given its evidence, like, oh, okay, I can get on board with this now.
Yeah. I think it's funny that it presents its own type of challenges that way too. Cause when you have all this knowledge about something and you're like, you read, let's say, a scientific paper and you're like, oh, okay, like they've actually experimented on this and it's true. Then it kind of puts the onus back on you to be like, all right, like I actually have to experience it now.
Right.
See if it's real. You know what I mean? It's like, it's interesting. And I feel like sometimes that's a little harder.
Exactly.
Like, oh, like I know it's real.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I got to feel it. Like it's actually got to internalize it and be like, am I going to actually look at this and actually allow it to change my life in a certain way?
Right.
And that's like, you know, part of the transformation that you have to go through.
Exactly. And an example of that I just thought of is like gratitude. It's been very well studied that when you express a heartfelt gratitude, that you're just happier, your body works better, like physical health is better, obviously mental health, like, but that you have stronger relationships. Like there's so much study to that, but like actually in practice of like a regular daily gratitude, that's where the rubber meets the road. So
that's a good example. Yeah.
So let's dive into this. So Out of This World is written, or at least the copyright it says is 1966. So yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I just thought of Mary's story because 1966 is, I think, the exact year that she got the nephritis, the kidney disease. And I remember her saying in her story that there was no mind-body experience. Like there was mind-body, like science was like not anywhere on the board. So like, yeah, this is like way before like modern knowing of like, again, you know, these kind of ideas that are not now much more well accepted, which is great. But anyway, so let me read this to you. This, again, is what blew my mind. And by the way, since it was written in the 1960s, Neville Goddard speaks a lot about like man and he and all that. But for you listening, know that he's talking about human race. Yeah, so
mankind.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So man does not know exactly what is meant by a dimensionally larger world, and would no doubt deny the existence of a dimensionally larger self, because he's talking about the fourth dimension. He's quite familiar with the three dimensions of length, width, and height. And he feels that if there were a fourth dimension, it should be just as obvious to him as the dimensions of length, width, and height. A dimension is not a line. It is any way in which a thing can be measured that is entirely different from all other ways. That is, to measure a solid fourth dimensionally, we simply measure it in any direction except that of its length, width, and height. Is there another way of measuring an object other than its length, width, and height? Time. Time measures my life without employing the three dimensions of length, width, and height. There is no such thing as an instantaneous object. Its appearance and disappearance are measurable. It endures for a definite length of time. We can measure its lifespan without using the dimensions of length, width, and height. Time is definitely a fourth way of measuring an object. The more dimensions an object has, the more substantial and real it becomes. A straight line, which lies entirely in one dimension, acquires shape, mass, and substance by the addition of dimensions. What new quality would time, the fourth dimension, give, which would make it as vastly superior to solids as solids are to surfaces and surfaces are to lines? Time is a medium for changes in experience because all changes take time. So the new quality is changeability. Hmm. Observe that if we bisect a solid, its cross-section would be a surface. By bisecting a surface, we obtain a line. And by bisecting a line, we get a point. This means that a point is but a cross-section of a line, which is, in turn, but a cross-section of a surface, which is, in turn, but a cross-section of a solid, which is, in turn, if carried to its logical conclusion, but a cross-section of a fourth-dimensional object. Let me see if there's anything else I want to read on that, because that, let me read this one final paragraph of this. We cannot avoid the inference that all three-dimensional objects are but cross-sections of four-dimensional bodies, which means when I meet you, I meet a cross-section of the four-dimensional you, the four-dimensional self that is not seen. To see the four-dimensional self, I must see every cross-section or moment of your life from birth to death and see them all as coexisting. My focus should take in the entire array of sensory impressions which you have experienced on Earth, plus those you might encounter. I should see them not in the order in which they were experienced by you, but as a present whole. Because change is the characteristic of the fourth dimension, I should see them in a state of flux as a living, animated whole. When I read that, that shit blew my mind. It's like, oh my God, thinking of my wife or thinking of you, Chris, as my brother, like as a whole fourth dimensional self. It's like, it kind of boggles the mind. It's kind of difficult to even wrap your head around. But the reason why I'm bringing this all up, and of course, why we're even recording this episode, is like, how do we actually use the power of our fourth dimensional self to make changes and actually see our visions, our dreams, like what we want to create, or in other words, our desires, as real as the physical reality around us? Because again, what he said earlier and what I just read was that the fourth dimension, its quality is changeability. So if we start to see ourselves as that fourth dimensional self, means that we can create whatever future we want. And it begins with those desires, those dreams, the visions of a life that we would really love, the change that we want to see, and actually seeing them in our mind's eye as real and working on experiencing them as real right now, which is the age old saying that you have to act as if you were already the version of yourself you want to be. It's like, think that way, feel that way. And that's difficult because so many of us have only been really related with our three-dimensional self, like this human being in this present moment.
It's kind of difficult to wrap your mind around that fourth dimension ability a little bit. I don't even know if that's a word. I don't know if I just made it up. Because again, like when you're I'm recording this on a microphone and a laptop, and I can see this table and I can see the dimensions of it, right?
Right.
But then to like look at this table through time, it's like a lot more difficult to kind of like grasp. But I think for me, like the simplest way of like grasping the fourth dimension is like, again, I think you mentioned is like imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can literally think of this room tomorrow with like my dog running through it or like me exercising in it. And it's like, I can see the three dimensionality of it, but then I can also add in the fourth dimension by having that imagination piece. And this room appears in my mind constructed exactly like it looks like now. But it's like, I'm doing different things in it. And I feel like when we use that imaginative power, is what I hear Goddard saying, to actually think about who we want to become and then see it in fourth dimensional reality as real and then start working towards it. It's like, we can collapse that time period, right? It's like, that could actually totally come about because you're thinking about it and you're starting to work towards it. And like that dimension's real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And shoot, Chris, our last handful of episodes that you and I recorded personally, not having a guest on, we talked about patterns. Dude, patterns are how we live our life. And so if we don't do what you just said, we're going to live out the old patterns of our life that we've had up until now, which it's just like the current state of our mind and what we have repeated so often through our imagination that it's like, yep, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. It's like, yeah, we can predict it because those patterns are so ingrained.
Yeah. Interesting. And then also it's like when you meet a human being, so I was thinking about this too, like when he was talking about the cross section, it's like when you meet a person, you're seeing this cross section of them in four dimensions.
Yeah.
The full fourth dimensional time and like changeability. it's like a person's entire like being is going to be made up of all of those instances, emotions, like things that they experience up until that point. But then like, if you take a cross section of them by meeting them in that point, their future is totally open.
Yes.
Because they have the ability to change their thoughts, to change their emotions, to change what they think about in the future, to direct them to a new path. It's like if you're just taking a snapshot of a person, or if you just look at a picture of someone, you don't know anything about them, and you understand this fourth dimensionality, like all you can see in a human being is potential.
Exactly.
To do whatever and be whatever, regardless of what path they took to get to that point in time. It's like anything is open to them in the future. And that's the same right. For you, listener, like anything is open to you in the future, regardless of what happened to you in the past. It's like, you can take a snapshot of yourself right now and be like, this is me right now in fourth dimensional time. But like, I can end up in a completely different place in a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year.
Exactly.
If I direct where I want to actually go and start to implement things to go towards it.
That's the key though. I was going to add that if you didn't, because there's a huge but here.
Yeah.
A huge but. But that, you know, is huge. What if? It's like, if you actually make the changes, because if you don't, there is a predictability to what is going to happen in your life. Because again, by patterns, you create or recreate more of what you've already been living your life by. And early in this chapter by Neville Goddard, he speaks about how life can be actually predetermined. And it is in many ways that, like, you know, some psychics can actually see the future, or like get glimpses, like we may get visions, like, heck, we could have potentially like dreams of what might happen a day from now or a week from now, and then it happens. We're like, oh my God, it's crazy. Yeah. And the reason why it can be actually perceived is because there is a set kind of movement forward by our patterns, by our energy. And so there is a kind of a predetermination to it. However, if we change, if we start to change our thoughts, our visions, our dreams, what we actually engage with our emotions, and actually really work on making those changes in our patterns, then you're right. Exactly what you said. Like, there is pure potential. Like, we can actually become whatever we would love, whatever we want to be. But it's that big if, it's that big but.
Yeah. Before we started recording, I was trying to think of like a simple example too of, because I think Goddard also talks about like the law of like assumption and like assuming your wish fulfilled, and that's really helps as a part of it, you know, like to help collapse that what if. Like, it's like, all right, like,
hold on before you continue. Yeah, it's not, yeah, it doesn't help. It is essential. Like, literally, that's the only way. It is the way. This is the way.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, and this has happened a lot of times in my life where I'm like, all right, like, I can't really think of times where I actually really use the law of assumption to bring something about, but then that's like totally not true. It's like everything that I've ever accomplished in my life was accomplished through this law of assumption, whether or not I realized the power of it or not. Like, a simple example, I was just thinking about like graduating college. Like, I applied to go to Binghamton. Like, I got in and I didn't have a doubt in my mind that I was going to graduate.
Right.
So it's like, and you can probably think of a ton of things in your life right now where that happened. It's like, you're in a position right now in your life, you might have accomplished certain things, you might have a certain job. Like, there was a part of you at some point in the past, like your four-dimensional past self, right, that had the assumption that you were going to get this, even if you were a little nervous about it, or even if you weren't quite sure. Like, there was a part of you that was like, I can see myself doing that, and like, that's a total possibility for me. And then it ended up happening.
Exactly.
And so it's like, it's kind of like using that power when you really focus on, or really try to think of examples where that's happened in your life, and really be intentional about thinking about those examples. You can realize that you can actually, you have that power to assume that things are going to happen for you, and actually start to direct it and use it for things that, like, I guess in a more directed way is what I'm trying to say. It's like, you're using this anyway.
My word for it is, you just start to use it more consciously.
That's a good way to put it. Exactly.
Because it's like gravity. This blew one of my clients' mind that I told last week. I forget exactly the context of our conversation, but I mentioned how, you know, the law of gravity works no matter what. Even if you think like, oh, I don't want to work with the law of gravity, tough shit. Like, if you're a human on planet Earth, you're affected by the law of gravity. Like, there's no way around it. Yeah. So it's either you're working consciously with the law of gravity or not. And even if we're not working with it consciously, like, we're working with it unconsciously. And sometimes to a degree that it's actually painful or hurtful. Like, if we're not paying attention or not really respecting the law of gravity. If we take a step off a curb and like we're not conscious, I could say it's like a, maybe even a big step, that's like more, it's a larger or like higher step than usual, like we might stumble and fall and then get hurt. Like, it's not that the law of gravity like did that to us. Like, the law of gravity is working one way for every human being on this planet, and we were not consciously working with it. But then when we open up to actually work with it more consciously, like we look at the step we're about to take, the height of it, and then we actually take, you know, the appropriate step to take to actually step down from that curb, then we're fine. It's the same thing with the law of assumption. Like, the law of assumption is working no matter what. It's whether we're consciously working with it or not, that then we can create what we want to create in life.
And we did an episode a few weeks back on awareness. And it's like, that's why that's so important too, because it's like, it's actually beneficial to you that your body and your subconscious kind of forgets about those things. Because imagine if every step you took, you were thinking about the law of gravity,
right?
Like, you drive yourself crazy. And so it kind of happens similar with a lot of these like laws of the universe that, you know, we've heard about and now we've talked about. It's like, they're constant. And it's like your ability to become aware of them and actually start to use them in a way that's constructive to you, that's when it seems like all of a sudden they're there, but they're always there constantly in the background. And it's like your body's like job kind of is to make them stay in the background, to make things easier for you and to make life easier for you. But if you get stuck in a path where you're not using those things to your benefit, like, it really does help to shine some awareness on them and be like, okay, how can I start using this more constructively?
Exactly. Which, dude, that's also to the point why it's so important to study. I'll use that word, but I want to describe what I mean by that. When I say study, like, I think the mind generally for most of us, it goes to like school, like college or high school, like just taking tests, like memorizing shit and like regurgitating it. It's not what I mean. Study meaning that you're training your mind to know these truths more deeply. Like, there's more of a real experience that you have with it. Because, dude, I've been studying personal development, spiritual principles, the laws of the universe for a decade now. It's not that I don't get these things, but it's just that there's a shift in the actual neural connections in my mind. It's literally neuroplasticity. So that using or working with these laws more consciously becomes that second nature thing. So I really believe, and Bob Proctor actually echoed this so many times when he was alive and teaching, like, he would say, you gotta study. Like, there's no way around it. Because if you just hear this, like on this podcast, it's like, oh, amazing, great. And then a week later, you're not actually working on applying it, or you're not repeating this, reminding yourself of this, maybe studying, like, Neville Goddard's book is literally where I got this from. So like reading it in different ways, because pretty much any spiritual teacher or any personal development teacher will speak about these general things in just different ways. And so it's like, you know, you're getting to the real truth of the point from all these different directions, so that it just becomes this one whole understanding that, again, then you can become that much more easy in the application of it, or it can become that much easier in the application of it. So like, you got to study. Like, there's a training of your mind that is required in order to actually live this out in a much easier way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you struggle.
Yeah, dude, it's interesting too, because I'm just thinking about the last few episodes that we did, and even like talking about the fourth dimension, like, you know, the third dimension of being physical and you being able to see it. Part of the study is actually bringing it into your life and your patterns, and exactly, actually living it out and seeing it work.
Right.
And I mean, I was always that type of person too in school. I don't know if you were this type of person, Kev, where it's like you're learning something in math, right? And the teacher will be describing it to you on the board and learn and teaching you, like, oh, this is how you do it. But then, right, it wasn't until like I got home and actually did problems myself and saw the little bit of like iterations of it and like really understood the concept so I can do more difficult problems. Then I was like, okay, I get it now.
Right.
Versus like just having someone show me. And I feel like that's a lot of people's like personal development journeys go through that. I'm still going through that in parts where I'm like reading stuff and I'm like, God damn it. Like, this is like the sixth time I've read this. Right. Like, why don't I get it? And a lot of the times it really is because I'm not actually trying to implement it into my life in a real, like, meaningful way where I believe it's going to do something. Right. And so like, I feel like that's everyone's journey when it comes to personal development. And that's like the beauty of it too. It's like, you have to keep going through it as many times until it actually starts to change who you are on the inside. And then the results are going to be, you're going to feel different and you're going to move through the world different, and your physical reality is going to be different.
Exactly.
Like that's like, that's the fruits of it. Like that's when you're going to see it.
100%. And on that note, let's get into like the practical application of it. And before we get there, because this will help in supporting that practical application of this, because there's honestly, it's one main thing. We mentioned it before, but like, how do you assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled? How do you actually activate the law of assumption? How do you actually think fourth dimensionally, as Neville Goddard would write? But if you're looking for support into actually training yourself, your mind, your body to actually implement this, and we'll actually go through exercises to implement this, I highly encourage you to come to Soul Builder Live. The next one's happening this September, September 16th, 17th. It's in Denver. So we get to hang actually out in person. Yeah. Yes, in person. My goal, my dream to have is to have 40 people. So it's a small, close-knit group of people that we're going to go through this kind of content and dive into the laws of the universe and how you actually apply them into your life. We'll have exercises we're going to go through, like partner exercises that you can actually step into that next version of you, so that you're dreaming and actually experiencing the reality that you would love to create as if it's happening now. So we're actually going to go through, it's at least like 3 or 4 times we're going through this in this 2-day event. So if you want to check that out, get your tickets, join me, Kevin, and at Soul Builder Live in Denver. We can get to hang out in person. Then click the link in the description of this episode and you'll be taken to a page for more information, like where it's at. And this is not restricted to anyone just in Denver. If you're willing to make the trip, like take a flight, like one of my clients, Ash, she'll be there. She's flying in from Wisconsin. So, and she's coming with her partner, her mom's coming, a friend of hers is coming. So yeah, like you can fly in. All the information's there and you can get your ticket at the link in the description of this episode, or it's www.soulbuilderlive.com. So now, how to apply this, which again, we're going to be working on this exact thing in Soul Builder Live for the 2 days, is about assuming the feeling of the wish fulfilled. And so Neville Goddard's recommendation in doing this, and I think people have different experiences with this or different opinions on this, but I believe this is true, that we have to, what Neville's word for it is, immobilize the body. We have to sit still or lay down and actually be still. Some people have a different view on this. It's like, oh yeah, you can be up and moving. Like I know Dr. Joe Dispenza has a literal meditation called the walking meditation. So you can be doing this like while you're doing other things and maybe have your eyes open. But I personally believe it's more powerful when you're sitting down, you have your eyes closed, or you're laying down and you have your eyes closed, and you completely relax your body. Like it's actually a form of self-hypnosis where you take some deep breaths and you start telling yourself, like literally thinking the thought, I am relaxed. I am at ease. I am fully at ease and relaxed in my body. And that you start to tell yourself certain things that really just allows you to go into this state of like in between sleep, like waking and sleeping. And let me find it in Neville's words. He has some interesting words about like how to do that, or like what kind of state you're trying to access.
I was going to say, you got it. You found it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. You share your thing too.
I was just going to say, like, for me, I noticed that, because like sometimes I'm sitting in meditation and I've been up for a while, or it's like the middle of the day, it actually takes me a little bit of time to get into a state where I feel like my body is like, okay, I'm kind of not aware of it anymore. I'm like this other space. So I think what he recommends in his book, The Power of Awareness, is doing it either right when you wake up or right when you're about to fall asleep, because you're already in that state of like in between consciousness. And I find that works a lot better.
Right.
At least for me.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right. And there's actually some science behind this. I actually learned this from Elise Milam, who we just had on the podcast. Mm-hmm. She shared that, and I think she actually said this exactly in our episode with her, that it takes like 8 to 12 minutes for the body to fully relax in meditation. Whereas like with breath work, it's like 4 to 7 minutes, something like that. Or maybe it's the mind to relax, but either way, you're right. It's a really good recommendation to do this like right when you wake up or right when you're going to sleep. Because yeah, Neville Goddard's exact words is to immobilize the physical body and induce a state akin to sleep or a drowsy state, but one in which you're still able to control the direction of your thoughts. A state in which you are attentive without effort. So yeah, again, but again, like either way, like whether you do this like right when you wake up or right before you go to bed, or it's like after you've waken up, like usually I take like an hour or two, like have breakfast, like read a bit before I start meditating and visualizing. But it does take me a bit like of time. It's like 5 to 10 minutes, whatever, like relaxing first. And then I'll go into the visualization. But the key, like I really want to highlight this, because immobilizing the body, like being still and closing the eyes, like turning off the external senses and then going within to turn on the internal sense of seeing. He literally says it this way. It's such good words. He says, you want to see feelingly. To see feelingly. So like when you're visualizing, it's not just you're seeing the picture, like as if like you're a third person viewpoint. No, like you're wanting to imagine that you are in that experience. Like if you're imagining that you want to attract the love of your life, that you're imagining that you're sitting with them, maybe at dinner, but like you're both on the same side of the table and that you're holding that person's hand. You can feel the warmth of their hand as you hear like the clinking of, you know, silverware by other people at the restaurant. You know, like, but you're in that experience, you are in that seat. So something like that, I think I really believe that when you're at ease and you're got your eyes closed, like it's way easier to see feelingly rather than trying to have like do this experience with your eyes open. Cause then the external senses, like the current, like you were mentioning before, Chris, like the current three-dimensional reality around you is convincing you that's what's real. Mm-hmm. Versus you actually accessing that state of your fourth dimensional self, where that visualization, that dream is just as real as what you do experience in your three-dimensional reality when you open your eyes.
Yeah. And the like doing it that way too, you're actually producing physiological changes in your body too.
Speak on it.
Because, you know, when you, and everyone's had this experience before, where they'll be thinking about something that's going to happen tomorrow and be filled with, like maybe it's a test or maybe it's like speaking in public or something, and you're filled with such anxiety and fear that you actually feel like it's happening right now. Like your palms start sweating, like you start, your breathing starts getting shallow. And it's like, because the things that we think about and imagine in vivid detail, the body and the brain actually can't tell the difference between that and what's actually happening. And so sometimes like when we're thinking about doing things that we've never done before, or bringing about things into our life that we've never done before, we actually don't really know what the feeling is. Like we don't have the nervous system capacity to even feel like we can achieve that. And so I think that's what the visualization helps to do. Mm-hmm. When you actually like imagine it so vividly, like Kev, you're saying about, let's say the love of your life, and you're imagining holding hands with them, and you're imagining being in this restaurant, you're painting this picture in the scene around you, your nervous system is getting familiar with this new state of being in love and being and having this person that in your current state, if you aren't doing these exercises, you might never be able to feel like you can actually experience. And so it's like, it's kind of like giving your body this sense of like, yeah, you can do this. And this is what it feels like. And that changes how you go about your day physically after you do the exercise. Cause I was thinking about what Wallace Waddle says in The Science of Getting Rich, how like most metaphysical thinkers will think about what they want, but then they won't actually implement actions to kind of help with that. It's like they'll just think about it and then they'll go about their day like normal. And I think the other part of this is like when you imagine so deeply being in that state of your wish fulfilled, you're going to feel different and you're going to want to do different things that are more in alignment with that. It's like, you got to bring that back into the physical and actually start doing things that are in alignment.
Right. Yeah. It's marrying the thought and the feeling with the action.
Yeah. And it helps. And it really does help when you can get that nervous system, like feeling with it that you might not have been able to experience before. Then you actually have more confidence. You're like, oh, like I'm used to this feeling. Like I know what this feels like. Exactly. Again, it probably won't happen the first time you think about it, but that's why this is an exercise that you're supposed to do as often as possible.
Right. Every day.
Yeah. Bro, I don't know if it's Goddard that says like, it's literally supposed to consume like every, like almost like every waking thought or feeling you're supposed to have is towards your desire.
Right.
And whenever I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, like that's so hard, but it's like, you're not expected to do it in one session. It's like,
no,
it's going to take time. It's like, again, that fourth dimension changeability. It's like you do it a little bit every day over time and it starts to actually become this feeling that you want to keep experiencing. And, you know, eventually it almost becomes like a self-sustaining thing. It's like the sun that Doc Ock creates in Spider-Man. at some point it becomes like unsustainable, and it's just like it has a mind of its own, and then it's like it's just there, it's just a part of you.
Right. I want to challenge one thing you said, because you said it's so hard, but or not even challenge, but qualify, because you're right. It does seem hard at first, but that's the key at first.
Yes,
and that's what you were adding at that. It builds a momentum. I mean, literally, that is a physics principle of momentum, and that's Newton. Newton's three laws, I think, about, oh my God, I'm forgetting the exact like terminology of it, but one of those laws is that an object in motion tends to stay in motion.
Yeah.
And so when your thoughts and emotions are built up and revved up in terms of that desire, even though it's in the physical reality, it hasn't happened yet, it has a momentum. And then it does become easy where it's like, oh, like you built up such a strong emotional energetic field of it that it's like the expectation is like, oh, it's mine. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no separation between you and it anymore. Like you are.
And that, and like building up that expectation too, it like it develops faith as well. And then you're not really so worried about when.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of us are worried about when. Like, oh, like I want someone to tell me that if I do this for 7 weeks morning and night, then I'll have it. But it's like things in the quantum physics realm, and so it doesn't work that way. It's like there is actually no real timeline for it. It's like it could happen like in a snap tomorrow, or it could take years. But it's like doing this and developing the faith that it will happen. It's like then you just live your life, and you're kind of just living in this hopeful, like not hopeful, but like you're just this expectation that's going to come about. And it's not like fantasy hopeful. It's like you really feel like this is going to be yours at some point, and you just work.
Yeah.
You just go about your day. You just, you know, but you're coming at it from a different perspective, like a different energy, a different electromagnetic signature.
Definitely.
And you know, that it builds faith.
Yes. Or in other words, belief, faith equals belief, honestly. Mm-hmm. So if you have faith that it's going to happen, or that your life is going to change in that direction, then it's belief. It's like, yeah, I absolutely believe it. It's mine. It's happening right now. Which, just one other point, and then I'd say it's bringing in for a landing.
Yeah.
One other addition to what you just shared to me was like, you know, yeah, we don't worry about time anymore of like when it's going to happen, because like then it's the adventure of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're getting to know yourself at a much deeper level, that it actually doesn't matter when it happens, because you're getting to know who you really are as a spiritual being having this human experience. In this human experience, like we identify and so relate with the three-dimensional world around us. But in our spiritual nature, we are infinite. We are beyond the physical human form and actually all of its fourth dimensionality. But the way we access that fourth dimension is through our spirit, through who we are as a soul. And so as we get to know who we really are more, it's like there's nothing to worry about. It's like what I really desire is coming into being. And it's happening right now. And then I'm just enjoying the ride.
Mm. Yeah. And then again, that becomes so much easier too. When you have that hopeful expectation that you're doing the right things and you're in the work.
Right.
It just feels good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, to ground that, everything we just said in the last like 5 to 10 minutes, because that is the practical application of it, is heck, you can even give yourself a challenge on this and do an experiment with your life, is give yourself a certain time frame of how often you're going to visualize, how often you're going to go into that state of relaxation to where you have your eyes closed and you're imagining a certain experience that you want to have in your life as if it's already happened. See yourself in it. And personally, I'm doing a challenge like that myself right now. Dude, it's quite a ambitious challenge, but I'm almost done. I gave myself a challenge of visualizing every day without missing a day for 90 days straight. And today was day 74 at the recording of this. So only a couple weeks left.
How long are you doing it? Like morning and night, or just like?
Just in the morning. Okay. And as long as, but sometimes it's been like midday. Sometimes it's been at night.
Yeah.
But at least once a day for a few minutes. Nice. Yeah. So that's my recommendation, is give yourself a challenge, because again, going back to patterns, like if we just say, that was a great episode by Kevin and Chris, like, all right, I'll do it. And then a week later, you remember like, oh, I said I was going to do that. So, all right, I'll do it. And maybe you do like one day or 2 days, and it's like, that's not really going to change your life. It has to be a commitment. And if you're really inspired by this, then do something about it.
Yeah.
Inspiration without action is merely entertainment, as Mary Morrissey would say.
Yeah. And my head, the last like couple minutes, I was like, if you do this and you practice this, like the universe or God's going to keep you breaded.
Yes. Yes. It's going to give you the bag. Pretty much everything. This is the doorway to riches and the richness of life, not just money, but yeah, it's everything.
Dude, that's so key. Yeah, riches of life, not just money. Yeah.
Exactly. It's all things. So one final reminder, if you'd love to work on this with me, and Chris may be there. He hasn't decided yet.
Yeah.
I will be there.
Our parents will be there.
Yeah. Our mom and dad are coming to, because this is the first 2-day live event I've ever hosted. I've hosted like workshops here or there that are like 3 hours or so, but this is 2 full days. You get the exact times on the website, again, soulbuilderlive.com. But again, final reminder for this, at least for this episode, I'll probably put out another episode or two about it, but September 16th, 17th is the next one. I'd love to see you there in person. Tickets right now at the recording of this is $97. That's early bird. The regular pricing is $127 for the 2 days and includes coffee and tea. We're going to have some coffee and tea in the morning, not like a tea party, but it's going to be there for like 15, 20 minutes before we start the event. And again, the entire event is about diving deep into pretty much everything we just covered, obviously way more because we'll have 2 full days together, but really to develop this skill or these abilities. And of course, like inspire yourself to make decisions for your life that will literally change your life and help you grow as a soul. So check it out, www.soulbuilderlive.com, or click the link in the description, and love to see you there. And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.